Okay. Thank you. So I want to thank everybody for coming. What I'd like to discuss with you tonight relates to questions that I've been getting from many people during the past few days and weeks, questions about what is permitted and is not permitted during Sfiras HaOmer, questions about listening to music, not listening to music, going to movies, not going to movies, having parties or not. These types of questions. It's actually a very complicated type of thing to try to figure out exactly what's mutter and what's not. And that's because the entire practice of the Avelos during Sfira is very, how do I say it, like flimsy. It's not based on much. So let's try to learn through the sugya to the best of our ability, and we will discuss, the topics. The Gemara Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis, the first source that we have, Amru Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayol Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells us that there were 12,000 pairs of students that Rabbi Akiva had, and the Gemara does not just phrase as 24,000 students, but 12,000 pairs. Apparently, there's a certain like chavrusa breakdown that they had, and they lived from Geves ad Antipras. The Kula Mesu Beperek Echad Mibneshal Nahagu Kavod Zelozeh. And they all died at one point because they didn't act properly. They didn't treat each other with respect. V'haya alam shamein, the world was desolate. Ha'chabar Rabbi Akiva eitzu Rabbi Sina shebadarom. V'shan alahem to Rabbi Akiva came to the south and he taught them, and they are Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosef, Reb Shem, Reb Lozer ben Shamua. V'heim heim ha'emidu Torah, and they are the ones who established Torah. Tana, then the Braisa says, Kula meisu mipesach ad atzeres, they all died from Pesach till Shavuos. And the Gemara tells us that they died in a particularly painful way. They died through the Misa Ra'a, which is Askara. It's quite unfortunate. It's a bad way to go. Your tongue swells up and it prevents you from breathing, and it's just not a good way to go. Shouldn't happen to anybody. So that's how all the students of Rabbi Akiva died. And they died from Pesach to Atzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos, and that's why this is a period of mourning. Right? And that's the way the Torah quotes at the beginning. This is what we basically know, that the Torah in the second source says, Nohagin b'chol hamkomos, they have a practice everywhere. And what's the practice, though? It's interesting. The practice is Shelo Lisa Isha Bein Pesach La'atzeres, not to get married, V'atam Shelo Laharbos B'simcha. The reason is not to overdo with rejoicing, because this is the time that the students of Rabbi Akiva died. That's what the Torah says. Now, Dr. Sperber, in his first volume of Minhagei Yisrael, which is still the best of all the volumes, the first volume, like the essays, are much more compact and much tighter. Like sometimes, you know, you could read a few pages until you see something new. That's in the later volumes. In the first volume, everything, you have to really read it while you're paying attention. So in his first volume of Minhagei Yisrael, he points out that we have to unpackage this minhag. We have to take this minhag of Sfira and try to figure out when it started, in which part of the world, etc. And he points out that the original practice, the earliest sources of the minhag, were simply that we don't get married. But we don't get married at what point of time? Bein Pesach la'atzeres. The entire time of Sfira, you don't get married. All 49 days. This is the minhag, the way it's quoted by the Gaonim. Right, the Gaonim, let's say in the 9th century until the 11th century, 8th century maybe, until the 11th century in Bavel, the Gaonim all quote the practice that we don't get married during Sfira. That's it. There's another practice that the Gaonim had about not doing malacha at night, but that's a different thing. That's because Sfira, the Torah says, a lashon of Shabbos, and Shabbos means you don't do Malacha. So that's a different issue, and that's also quoted here in the Torah, that makes it to Shulchan Aruch. But the fact is that the real minhag of Avelos, the earliest minhag of Avelos, is simply not to get married. Now, in later generations, different things happened to this minhag. First of all, the minhag was expanded in terms of scope, that not only does it apply not to getting married, but it also applies to not shaving or not cutting hair. That's the second stage of the minhag. That's if you'll continue in the Torah. He writes, Yesh mekomos shenahagu, this is the third line in the Torah, there are certain places where I have a practice, shalola histaper. Nalola histaper literally means do not cut your hair. We assume that shaving and cutting hair go together. One could perhaps make a case that we should divide between the two. We'll talk about that as we move on. But there are certain places that have such a practice. Where does this come from? The practice not to cut hair. So the Beis Yosef tells us, the third source, this comes from a source that we don't usually use la halacha. It comes from the drushos of Ibn Shu'ib. What's that? I don't know. Hey, that's the drushos of Ibn Shu'ib. And why is it quoted in halacha? Ibn Shu'ib was a darshan. He was, right, in different communities. They had rabbis to pass in shaylos and other rabbis who would give the speeches. So Ibn Shu'ib was a darshan. And on the drusha that he gave on the first day of Pesach, he said that you're not supposed to cut hair during Sfira. That's it. So that's the source. Right? Kind of not a typical sort of source.
Was he saying that prescriptively, or was he describing already existing minhag in the community?
It sounds like he was saying it what you would call prescriptively. In other words, he's saying that you should not do it.
So he really created the minhag. He wasn't
effectively, or he is saying that in certain places they have this practice and it's a good thing and you should continue it. You should enact it here as well. Fine. So that's stage two. That the practice applies to cutting hair. Other things during Sfira. And what are the other things that we don't do during Sfira? Music, right? That's the big one. Or a big one.
Buying new clothing.
Making shehechiyanus. Like someone sent me an email today, how can we do social hall construction during Sfira in the show? It's perfectly mutter. We'll talk about why. But hey, are you allowed to do these things? There are certain practices that we don't do these things. There are practices who treat Sfira exactly like the Avelos of the 3 weeks. But I don't think we're going to find Makoros for them. We won't. We won't find Makoros for them. So let's go on. So the original stage of the minhag is that you don't get married. But you don't get married the entire Sfira. Now, in terms of the length of time and when you observe the practice, there's also a certain evolution, to pardon the expression, of the practice. And the Sefer HaManhig, the Sefer HaManhig is Ra'avon Hayarchi. Hayarchi means he lived in the town of Lunel, right? Yareach, moon, Lunel. So the Ra'avon Hayarchi from the town of Lunel, he wrote the Minhagim of Provence. Provence was a different culture than the rest of France. Provence is the French Riviera. It's a nice place to visit. And at one time, there was a very proud Jewish culture in Provence. The Ravid was from Provence. The Meiri is from Provence. There's a proud Jewish culture there. But the Minhagim of Provence are found in the Sefer HaManhig and in the Meiri as well. And he writes, right, that here in the second paragraph, first he says that the minhag is that we don't get married between Pesach and Shavuos, not because it's usher, but it's because of Avelos, etc. Good. Then the second paragraph says, V'ach minhag b'tzarfas u'provanzia lichnos milamid gimel ve'elech. But the minhag in Tzarfas, which is northern France, and Provencia, which is southern France, is that they get married after Lag Ba'Omer. And he gives us a reason based on Reb Zerachia of Gerunda, that he said that there's a different gerusa in the Gemara, different text. The Gemara doesn't say that they died between Pesach and Shavuos. The Gemara says they died between Pesach and Pros Atzeres. And Pros Atzeres means half of a month before Shavuos. So half of a month should be 15 days. So what's 15 days before Shavuos? It would be 15 days before, be the 34th day of the Omer, no? problem, no? So that's in fact a Sfaradi practice. There's a Minhag HaSfaradim that you keep, hey, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you keep Sfira until day 34 of the Omer. Maybe it's based on this, but no, we're assuming somehow that our practice of Lag BaOmer is also based on this. Maybe next week we'll discuss where we get our practice of Lag BaOmer from. But that's stage two in terms of how long you keep Sfira, is the Minhag that the Sefer Haman he quotes. Then the Ramah quotes a practice in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah on the second side of the page, the top of Seif Gimel, the Ramah says, Mihu baharbe mekomos noagim lehistaper ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Right, there are certain places that they cut their hair and they shave until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and from Rosh Chodesh onward, they keep Sfira, with the exception of Lag BaOmer. Now, where does this practice come from? By practice, one, we understand the entire time between Pesach and Shavuos, you keep as Sfira. Practice one, by the way, is still kept in certain places. Mekubalim. I don't know if we have any of them here. But if you're into the heebie-jeebie Kabbalah of the Arizal, you keep the entire Sfira. Right? Even if you're not into the Kabbalah of the Arizal, you're into the Kabbalah of the Rashash, which is slightly different. They also keep the entire Sfira. Okay? I'm too young to understand any of this. But that's one practice. You keep the entire Sfira. The second practice is that you keep Sfira until Lag BaOmer. The third practice that you keep Sfira from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until the end, with the exception of Lag BaOmer, that practice, unclear where it comes from. Professor Sperber thinks it has nothing to do with Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rather, it's because of the gezeros of the Crusades. If you read the Piyutim about the Crusades, and we say them on Tisha B'Av, right, in the Eila Ezgara, we speak about the towns of Spire, Worms, and Mayans, which were destroyed by the Crusades, right? And we give you the dates when it happened. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the 18th of Iyar or something is another day, and then Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and then on Shavuos again. Right? So the main gezeiros of the Crusades happened from Rosh Chodesh Iyar onward. Says Professor Sperber, the Ashkenazi minhag of keeping what we call the second half of Sefira is not really based on the students of Rabbi Akiva dying. Maybe there was an old practice of students of Rabbi Akiva dying, but that morphed after the gezeiros of the Crusades, that morphed into an aveilos for the Crusades, and therefore we're keeping at the time of the main gezeros, the time after Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Okay? So now, does this matter at all, a halacha? Does it matter whether the gezeros are because of the students of Rabbi Akiva or because of the Crusades? So it matters which time period, okay, right? That's so far so good. Professor Sperber argues, and this I think there is room to question. He argues that if you read Sfaradi Tshuvas, you'll see big kulas about Sfiras HaOmer. But the Ashkenazim are very machmir. The Sfaradi poskim, they say, Sfira, okay, you know, you try to do a little bit this here, fine. Ashkenazim say, no, right? What's the reason? So he wants to suggest that the reason is based on the fact that since Sfaradim only have the concern of students of Rabbi Akiva, so therefore the Avelos is like Avelos Yeshana. That's a Gemara's expression about Tisha B'Av. It's old Avelos. It goes back, it's almost like history. It's not what's happening right now. Avelos Yeshana. So if it's Avelos Yeshana, so then maybe there's room to be makel. But Ashkenazim felt Sfira more acutely because of the Crusades. Therefore, they're more machmir. This is his argument. I don't know if it's compelling. Because you have to trace Minhagim very carefully to make these type of arguments. But it's an interesting thought. And let's take a look at some of the practices in Sfira. And we'll see if he's right. Right? Again, this is all in the first volume of Minhagei Yisrael, the 12th and 13th chapter. Good. Shaving during Sfira. Cutting hair during Sfira. So So first of all, are there heterim to cut hair and to shave? Right? Any heterim? Yeah. If you get out of prison. But you think it's a joke. I have a cousin. you think it's a joke. I, whatever. No. Right. It's real. Yom HaAtzmaut. Yeah, we'll talk about Yom HaAtzmaut. We'll get there. But what's the pshat in getting out of prison? So the Pri Megadim is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that, and the Bir Halacha quotes this Pri Megadim, that anyone who's allowed to cut his hair or cut her hair and shave during Chol HaMoed is allowed to cut hair or shave during Sfira. Now, on Chol HaMoed, the Mishnayos and Moed Katan speak about if you're an onos, if you couldn't cut your hair or shave beforehand. So then it's going to be mutter to cut your hair and shave during Sfira, and that's the case of getting out of prison. Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, in Chelek Beis of Orech Chaim, feels that this Pri Megadim is kind of wrong. He says, how can you compare the prohibition of shaving on Chol HaMoed, or cutting hair on Chol HaMoed, with Sfira? Chol HaMoed, why don't we cut hair? Or why don't we shave on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara has a special gezeira. We want you to prepare for Yontiv. We want you to look kempt. You enter Yontiv, look as good as you can. We don't want you to delay your taking care of your bodily needs to Chol HaMoed. So therefore, do it before Yontiv. That has nothing to do with Sfira. Sfira l'chor is all about Avelos. Right? So what's the connection? Right, just because I was an onus, and onus is mutter on Chol HaMoed, that's because Chol HaMoed, the whole reason is I'm not supposed to enter Yontif when I'm unkempt. If I'm onus, so I couldn't enter Yontif kempt. Okay, so it's mutter. But Sfira, why would it be mutter? That's Rav Moshe's argument, so he argues on the Pri Megadim. So the first kulos, so if anyone gets out of prison, so we're not going to give you a heter to cut your hair, according to Rav Moshe, but going to Pri Megadim, we do. Yeah. The Ramban does say that. The Ramban is a nice drasha. The Ramban doesn't mean that it's really Chol HaMoed. The Ramban says, yeah, you go just in, you go from Pesach to Shavuos, and these are the intermediary days. That's the hashgafa behind Sfira. But I don't think it's.
But it doesn't mean but based on that, we could have developed a minhag to treat it like Chol HaMoed.
It's possible.
Which could give it an alternative, different source.
It's possible, but then you would have to. Then we'd have to kind of, right, it would be an interesting theory, but then we should find lots of things that we don't find. Does anyone say it's also to go to work during Sfira? Right? At least Avodas Karka. Does anyone say that? I'd be hard-pressed to find something.
You said the Mithak was not to do Malacha at night.
At night.
Okay, so they weren't going to not do Malacha at all. That would be too difficult.
Maybe.
For 49 days. But
It's possible, I'm sure some academic somewhere has written a paper about it. It doesn't seem that likely to me. I'll say it like that. So one kula is cutting hair if you get out of prison. What other kulas to cut hair? So other kulas to cut hair. So the poskim say that if you need to cut your hair for health reasons, it's mutter. Okay, fine. You have to remember, Sfira is only a minhag. And whenever something is a minhag and the minhag interferes with me'ikar hadin, so we push the minhag aside and you keep the strict halacha. Right? There are many proofs to this idea. One proof is, for example, the Gemara tells us that if somebody usually davens with a minyan, maybe I shouldn't say this in public, especially not in shul, but okay. If someone usually davens with a minyan and misses minyan one day, so the Gemara in Brachos tells us that God looks after him. God says, where are you? Zok the Gemara, if you didn't daven with a minyan because you were attending to a mitzvah, so God says that's great. But if you didn't attend minyan because you are not doing a mitzvah, so then bad things will happen. So what's the pshat in that Gemara? So the Netziv has a comment. The Netziv says, you know what? What the Gemara means is that attending minyan on a regular basis, okay, let's say this carefully, is a good minhag because it's a way of making sure your tefillos get answered. So if you miss, you don't do a minhag because of a dvar mitzvah, that's okay. But if you don't do a minhag because of dvar rishus, then you'll suffer. So similarly over here, if I have a minhag that interferes with a real mitzvah, like taking care of your own health, so of course the minhag Of course, the minhag gets pushed to the side. Similarly, a woman who has to cut her hair because the hair is beginning to come out from her snood, for too much hair is coming out of the snood, so then in that situation also, that's a minhag that's interfering with the real halacha, and that would be permitted to cut hair in that situation. Litzorech mitzvah, we do permit cutting hair. If you have a bris for your child, we permit cutting. The moyel, the sandik, and the avi haben are allowed to cut their hair in honor of a bris during sfira. Again, these are all the things because they enhance your expression of simcha for your son's bris. Yes. Bimkom hefsid. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has an important tshuva. He says, absolutely, it's permitted. Again, it's the same idea. Because every minhag in the world gets pushed aside if it conflicts with a serious mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs is to earn a living. Right? If you'll get fired from your job or your boss won't like you because you're not clean shaven, so then it's mutter to shave. Right? Or because... So that's the first discussion. There's some achronim who want to say that if you need to get a haircut, let's say for a date, because it'll make you look better during Sfira, that also might be permitted because it's b'makom mitzvah. That's already interesting.
I've heard a famous story about that.
Okay, maybe later, yeah.
What about Kavod Shabbos?
Kavod Shabbos, okay. So are you allowed to cut your hair l'kavod Shabbos, right? That's sort of where we're going. So the Radvaz, in this next source, now who was the Radvaz? Reb David ben Zimra was the Radvaz. The Radvaz is a fascinating fellow. He is a Rav in Mitzrayim who lived to the age of 110. That was unheard of in the 17th century. The Radvaz, 16th, 17th century. The Radvaz had a very famous student who died at the age of 38. And that was the Arizal. The Arizal is a student of the Radvaz. All of the halacha that Arizal knew was from the Radvaz. The Kabbalah that Arizal knew is, of course, from some malachim and from Rav Moshe Cordovero, and I don't know any of this stuff already. But that's... So the Radvaz moved from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael when he was in his 80s because he thought he was about to die, and he figured, like, who lives to 80 in the 16th, 17th century? I may as well move to Israel and die there. To his good fortune, he ended up living for another 30 years in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the story of the Radvaz. So the Radvaz has a shayla about, are you allowed to shave or cut your hair, we should say. And again, in all the Acharonim seem to say there's no difference between shaving and cutting your hair. Although some of the svaras that we're mentioning, maybe some of the kulas perhaps apply to shaving, not to cutting hair. Parnosa, in most cases, I don't think the concern with cutting your hair is as likely to arise as the concern for not shaving. But, again, it should be permitted even to cut your hair if it's really necessary for parnosa. So the Radvaz asks, are you allowed to cut your hair on Rosh Chodesh Iyar? So he says, I do it myself. I'm not avidna uvda b'nafshoi. I do it myself. And I myself cut my hair the entire month of Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And he says an interesting reason. He says the reason is because since Nisan is a month that's Aser in Hesper and Tanis, so therefore you can't have the Avelos Sfira during Nisan. And Rosh Chodesh is also a day of joy. So you can't have Avelos Sfira on Rosh Chodesh. He quotes a Tosfos, nobody knows which Tosfos he's referring to. But the Radvaz says, therefore you're allowed to cut your hair on Rosh Chodesh. Then he writes, Ubar Mindain, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before the end of this Radvaz. Bar Mindain, Ani Reisi Kamaki Hilos, Shalom Nahagu Minhag Zeklal. I saw many communities that they do not keep the practice of not cutting their hair at all. But how does he say it? Umistaprim b'chol shavua kifi min hagam l'kavet ha-shabbos. Now, how do you read this Radvaz? Do you read this Radvaz that what he's saying is that they are cutting their hair l'kavet Shabbos? Right? And in fact, this is the practice. I was always shocked. I just thought it was like a big YU kula that we shave during Sfira. And In Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, apparently, the old Rashi, I don't know if they still do this, but the old Rashi, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, the front of the Rosh, used to tell the guys to shave L'Kavod Shabbos during Sfira. Is that what the Radvaz means? Yeah?
Well, it seems like he's saying, I would read it that if he's saying that there's no, they're not knowing him with this minhag, then they're not, they don't do it. And the probably what they normally do in those days is they shave for Shabbos.
Exactly. Right, so that's probably what, that's probably a better take on the Radvaz. So the Radvaz is not saying that L'Kavod Shabbos it is permitted, but rather he's saying that they only would shave L'Kavod Shabbos, and they don't have the practice at all of not shaving. And again, that would make sense according to what we saw originally, that the earliest sources of the minhag of not, of the minhagim of Sfira is not to get married, not shaving. Develop later. The Radvaz is saying, I saw many places where they don't have the minhag not to shave at all. What's the big deal? Right? There's only 150 years between the drush of Ibn Shu'ib and the Radvaz. Right? There's not so long. That's not so... fine. The Maisa, though, it's interesting. If what we're saying is that the... if what we're saying is that whenever there's a minhag that conflicts with Ikar Hadin, so you have to push the minhag aside. So then what should emerge is that really you're allowed to shave L'Kavod Shabbos. Because Me'ikar Adin, you're supposed to, right? The Gemara says you're supposed to take a shower before Shabbos, shave, look nice. Someone told me that it says in the biography of the Satmar Rav that he used to shave L'Kavod Shabbos every week. What he would do is he'd put his hair in the sink and he'd take a razor and cut his hair. Right? That's, you have to understand Satmar Hasidim. But maybe it's not so crazy to shave L'Kavod Shabbos. Not so crazy to shave. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's own practice is that during Sfira, he does not shave all week. He shaves L'Kavod Shabbos during Sfira.
More often than that.
What?
He was shaving like every 3 days.
I don't know. Okay, we could talk about shaving every 3 days also in a minute, if that's really the practice. That's what Dr. Lamb does. Dr. Lamb shaves every 3 days. We'll talk about that in a minute, where that's what that's based on. Okay? So, to the best of my knowledge, Rav Aaron tells the boys to shave L'Kavod Shabbos. And the rationale is just that it's a minhag, and when the minhag interferes with a real din, so the minhag gets pushed aside. Question is, so how come this cheshbon is not accepted by everybody? So there is a rumor out there that in the yeshivas, that they quote from a chsam sofer, I've never found this chsam sofer, they say the Kavod Shabbos is really to have to have a growth. That's to look like Yasser Arafat. That's Kavod Shabbos. I don't know. It doesn't... That's what they quote. Right? Why is it Kavod Shabbos? Because the way a Jew looks, he should have a beard. Right? And so it's more about Kovadik for Shabbos if you have a beard at that point. Maybe, I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik famously had a mahalach that the Rav said that shaving is mutter during Sfira. That's what the Rav said. Now, we'll explain what this means. You see, there are different practices of Avelos. Avelos is something that the most intense period of Avelos is right after the mace passes away. There's a period of aninos. You're not even allowed to do mitzvos, which according to many Rishonim is a kiyum of avelos, that you're so sad that you can't do mitzvos at all. That's stage one. Stage two is shiva. And even within shiva, the first 3 days is more chamor than the rest. Then there's a period of avelos of shloshim, which is less intense. And then there's a period of yud beis chodesh, which is the least intense. Rav Soloveitchik said that in his opinion, the Avelos that we have during Sfira has the same halachic standards as the Avelos of the 12 months. Now, the Avelos of 12 months only applies if you lose a parent. If you lose a sibling, there's no Avelos of 12 months. There's only Avelos of 30 days. Consequently, if the Avelos of Sfira is like the Avelos of 12 months, halacha is that during the Avelos of 12 months, you're allowed to shave once you reach what's called Shiur Ga'ara. Once your friends start to scream at you, they say, you look awful. Oh! Friends say you look awful, then it's mutter to shave. That's the halacha, right? After shloshim is over, when you reach your ga'ara, so then it is mutter to shave. Good. So Rav Soloveitchik famously told the Talmidim that you are not only permitted to shave during Sfira, but if you can shave, you're mechuyev to shave during Sfira. That one, I remember when I was going out with my wife the first time, so I went out with her during Sfira, and my wife is a nice young woman from Brooklyn, so I didn't shave for that date. And I walk into the house, my future father-in-law looks at me, and I didn't realize that he had been in YU years before, and he says, oh, I didn't realize that YU guys don't shave during Sfira anymore. What happened to you? Don't you know that our salvation club is a chiv to shave during Sfira? I'm like, ah. Okay, that's very bad. For some reason, the common practice in YU in recent years, and we don't fully understand this, is that guys don't shave during Sfira anymore. The common practice 40 years ago in YU was that Rav Soloveitchik felt there was a chiyuv to shave during Sfira, because if it's permitted, based on his cheshbon, so then you're mechuyev to shave. That's what Rav Soloveitchik... Why are you mechuyev to shave? You're mechuyev to shave to look kempt. I once heard Rav Aaron Lichtenstein say this, that that's what the Rav felt, that there's a chiyuv to look proper. Okay. And I guess the guys don't tuck their shirts in also, so... They don't hold to the sleeve to look camped at all. Whatever it means. So now, the halacha of avelos of 12 months is that you are allowed to cut your hair and shave after your friends scream at you. After you reach your ga'ara. Rebbe Kiva Eger in Yerideya has a famous question. What does shir ga'ara mean? Does it mean that there's an isser to shave, and then your friends scream at you, so then it becomes mutter to shave. And once your friends scream at you, it's mutter to shave the rest of the 12 months. Or does it mean that each time you have a little growth, you have to wait till your friends scream at you until it becomes mutter to shave? It's a suffix that Rebbe Kiva Eger has. Right? Basically, the question is whether ga'ara is a matir or not. Does the ga'ara serve to permit the shaving? Or do we assume that, no, it's a shear. It's a cutoff. And once you reach that point, there's no longer an isser of shaving at all. So Dr. Lam has the practice during Sfira that he'll shave every 2 or 3 days because he waits for Shir Ga'ara for each time. That's his practice. Also, it's an interesting practice in its own right. The question about Rav Soloveitchik's entire approach to Minhagim, though, is real. And I'll say it like this, and maybe this is why it's not so accepted even in YU today. Are Minhagim so rigid? In other words, I have a minhag. It says, don't do this in Sfira. Maybe the minhag is that Klal Yisrael accepted this practice, not that practice. Who says the minhagim of Sfira have to fit exactly into the category of the avelos of 12 months? For example, okay, I give you an Aruch HaShulchan over here. The Aruch HaShulchan writes clearly in one of these paragraphs, here, the bottom line of the second paragraph of the Aruch HaShulchan says, Se'udas HaRishus is mutter. Kimo Su'udas Mireyos. You're allowed to have a meal with a lot of friends during Sfira. No problem whatsoever. Now, if it's really like Avelos of 12 months, there would be an Isser of Su'udas Mireyos. Now, halacha is that when a person is in Avelos for a parent, he's not allowed to get together with a bunch of his friends and just have a meal. Yet no one in the history of humanity ever said that Su'udas Mireyos is also during Sfira.
Did Rav say that?
No. But I don't know if anyone asked him that. I should have asked Rav Schachter today. I don't know if anyone ever asked the Rav. What about Su'udas Mireyos? I don't know.
When I heard, obviously I never knew the Rav, but from his Talmidim who have given shir on Sfira, I've always heard them say that you shouldn't have a Su'udas Mireyos during Sfira.
I don't know. I mean, I know that the Aruch HaShulchan says that no one ever said it, that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a line like that in one of his Tshuvos. No one ever said Su'udas Mireyos is a problem. So it would seem like... I seem like that's not much of an issue. Okay, so I think we spent a long enough time about the minhag of shaving. Let's move on to the minhag of music. Not listening to music during Sfira. What's the story with music during Sfira? Is there any source not to listen to music during Sfira? Okay. What?
Isn't it about dancing?
About dancing, right. So it says that you are not supposed to dance during Sfira, that Rikudin and Mecholos, what's the difference between Rikudin and Mecholos? Apparently a Rikud is with fewer people, Mecholos is with more people. That's what they say. So Rikudin and Mecholos, it says, are usur during Sfira. The reason for that is because the Torah at the beginning says you shouldn't be marbe b'simcha. You shouldn't have a lot of joy. it's suggestive and striking, I would say, that Shulchan Aruch, when it quotes the entire line from the tour, right at the beginning, right, the tour begins that in all of the places we don't get married, and the reason is Shalola Harbos Besimcha, Shulchan Aruch quotes the same thing word for word, but he leaves out that line of Shalola Harbos Besimcha. The Mishnah Berurah comes and puts it back in. Okay? But that's a different conversation. So now, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Aruch HaShulchan says that you're not supposed to have dances during Seirah, the Kol Shekein, the Asr Lezamer B'chlei Zemer. Certainly you're not allowed to, right? That's the underlined part. I give you the Aruch HaShulchan. You're not allowed to play musical instruments. This is the earliest source, Aruch HaShulchan. Right? The earliest source of not playing music during Sfira is found in the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, you shouldn't think that this is so suggestive, and I'll tell you why. You see, it could be that there's an Isser to play music all year long. The Gemara in Gittin and Daf Zayin says, Zimra Menolon de Asser, how do you know that you can't play music? And the Gemara learns out from a Pasuk of Bashir al Yishtu Yayin, Yema Yayin Leshosav, the Gemara understands from certain psukim that you're not supposed to play music. And there's a whole literature in the Achronim. What does this mean? What type of music is usher? So some say it's usher to play music when you're drinking wine. Right? You can't have that type of event because we're supposed to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so we're not supposed to be festive anymore, so don't play music. Right? It's a real prohibition. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Right? The chayim gazur shalolim nagin b'chlei shir, the bottom source, v'chol minei zemer, v'chol mashmiya kosher shir l'sameach b'hem, is all usher. The Rama has a few kulas. It must say that the prohibition is only if you do it every day. You wake up every morning to music, go to sleep every night to music. That's the only time there's a prohibition, according to the Rama. And how we get around this prohibition today is not so simple. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Actually, it's written to my father-in-law. That Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that maybe it's not so simple. Not so simple how we get out of it. It's a full shir to try to get into the Rav Moshe. The basic idea is that the heter that we have for playing music today is probably because we'd be too depressed without it. That we need music to add a certain joy to life. It's hard to really come up with a heter, unless you fully accept the kulas of the Rama, who says that the only prohibition is that you can't have music but Beis HaMishta, if you have a big party. Without a party, music is permitted. But one could argue that the reason why Shulchan Aruch never said that there's a prohibition of music during Sfira is because Shulchan Aruch held that there's always a prohibition of music. So you don't have to say there's a prohibition of music during Sfira. But we hold that music is mutter all year long. So is there an Isser of music more during Sfira? The Aruch HaShulchan would say yes. Right? Yes. But what type of music? Is it only instrumental music? What about singing? Probably. He says Klei Zemer is also. Okay, so instrumental music. Fine. What about tapes?
That's a Klei, no?
What? So a tape is a question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his truvas, in that same truva actually, Rav Moshe writes that he thinks if it's a tape of vocal music without instruments, so it has the same status as singing without instruments. And if it's a tape of singing with instruments, so it's like instruments, and therefore it's going to be usher. That's Rav Moshe's take. Rav Binyamin Zober says that he thinks that, like what you were saying, he thinks that that itself is a keli. If I have a tape that's playing music or an iPod that's playing music, so that itself is the music that comes from a keli, so that would be a problem. That's his approach. Others assume that there's a prohibition of music, but the prohibition of music is only like dancing. Right? That's really the source. Don't dance. Rikudin amacholos. Okay, so music, dance type of music is forbidden. But to listen to classical music, right? For sure that should be okay. To listen to music so that you, when you're driving, so that you don't fall asleep, for sure that's okay.
That's the
kind of fun. That's the fun. That's definitely mutter.
You said classical, it means you can go to concerts?
According to this approach, yes. Because the only reason not to go to a concert is not different than listening to music in your own home. if the prohibition of music is only the type of music that leads to dancing, I think if you try to dance at a concert, they'd probably kick you out. Right? So, yeah, according to this approach, it should be fine. There are some who say, Rabbi Willig Paskins, that there's really no issur of music at all during Sfira. Because it doesn't say if the earliest source is the Aruch HaShulchan, right? We hold music is mutter all year, it's mutter during Sfira also. Yeah, so when people ask me about like music, so what I tell them honestly is I think Sfira has to mean something to you. So do something like, it's inconceivable, especially if you hold like Rasal Veshik and you shave during Sfira. So what exactly does Sfira mean? Right? So, I mean, obviously we count that night, right? But the Avelos of Sfira should mean something. But again, I think technically speaking, there are grounds to say that there's no Isser of music as well. People are asking about going to movies during Sfira. So again, I'm not commenting on going to movies. Rav Soloveitchik writes in the Rav Shechter, quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, that you shouldn't go to movies during the 3 weeks. He didn't say anything about not going to movies during Sfira. He said, don't go to movies during the 3 weeks. I remember a friend of mine who was, he actually became Rav Shechter's son-in-law. So when he was in camp, Or Shraga, which is a Torah Vadas camp, so he came reading Rav Shechter's book, Nefesh HaRav, and one of the Rebbeim over there asked to borrow the book, and he read the book, and he said that, ask Rav Shechter, I have one taina, how come Rav Soloveitchik said you're not allowed to go to movies during the 3 weeks? Does that imply that you're allowed to go to movies all year long? That was his question. Okay, I mean, there are probably better questions to ask in the book. So, the basic issue, I think, with going to movies during Sfira, again, assuming that going to movies is mutter all year long, so I don't really know if there's an issur of going to movies during Sfira. There's no prohibition of enjoying yourself. Specific types of enjoyment are usur, getting married. Don't do it. By the way, what about getting married with tzorach mitzvah? No? Let's say you don't have children yet. If you want to get married just for companionship when you're right later in life, that's one issue. If you want to get married because you don't have children yet, is that permitted? So that's a whole discussion in the Achronim, in the Shari Tshuva. Some permit getting married with tzorach mitzvah. Again, along the lines of what we were saying before. So the issue with going to movies, I think also, it's not befeirish anywhere. It's going to, no posek is going to write that going to movies is usher during Sfira. At the same time, you know, Sfira should mean something. I don't think the problem of music in the movie is a real issue because the music is incidental. Even if you hold that there is an issur of music, that issur of music is only if you intend to listen to music. If I go to a doctor's office and they're playing music, I don't think that's the problem of music. Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, like, in the store, I think the problem is, if there is an Isser music, the Isser is that it's leading to a lot of simcha. Right? If you feel that it's being imposed on you, so I don't think you have to ignore it, it's not leading to a lot of simcha, so it should be fine. It doesn't resonate with me. So again, I think music during Sfira, it's one of these hazy areas of halacha because there's really not much about it. There's a whole literature about other things during Sfira. Shehechiyonu during Sfira. Technically, it's permitted. You're allowed to make a shehechiyonu during Sfira. You're allowed to buy garments during Sfira. You're allowed to go shopping. You're allowed to fix the show social hall during Sfira. It's all mutter. Yeah. So some of the Achronim, actually this actually goes against what Dr. Sperber says. Some of the Achronim from the Sfaradi Achronim say only to make a Shehechiyonu on Shabbos, not during the week. The Ashkenazi Achronim seem more inclined to say that you make a Shehechiyonu during the week and on Shabbos. It's all the same. So, again, these are the issues, I think, of music and of haircutting and of marriage during Sfira. If you understand that there's a larger issue that whatever is done with Tzorech Mitzvah is okay, right, which sounds very logical, so then So then there's room to question what exactly is considered Sarafim Pitzur. So let's talk about Yom Ha'atzmaut for a minute. I know it's over Zman or Batal Korbano, but there's no Korban in Yom Ha'atzmaut anyway, to the best of my knowledge. So on the Herhurim blog yesterday, so Rabbi Ari Enkin posted the issue of how come there are people today who will observe Yom Ha'atzmaut with all the music and dancing, but they still will not be clean-shaven in honor of Yom Ha'atzmaut. And there are many stories that Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook would look at the students in Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, and he would see if they're not clean-shaven with Tzorech Yom Ha'atzmaut, he would see that they didn't really believe in the state, and he'd get very upset at them. These are the stories that they say. So the suggestion that he makes, which I think is very logical based on what we're discussing, is that, you know, let's think about it. Cutting hair and shaving during Sfira, there are real makoros for it. It makes it to Shulchan Aruch. It makes it to Shulchan Aruch. Right? It's fine. It's from a drusha of Ibn Shuib, but music is much later. So one could say just that, practically speaking, the Isser of music might not apply at all during Sfira. So of course it doesn't apply in Yom Ha'atzmaut. No saf al kach, though, you can just say that the question is, you know, whatever is with Tzorech Mitzvah is mutter. But it's only mutter if it really enhances the mitzvah. Right? So there's a mitzvah to enjoy in Yom Ha'atzmaut. If you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it makes sense to believe this, right? You believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tremendous miracle for Klal Yisrael, and he gave us a Medina, something that we haven't had for 2,000 years. So it's an opportunity to rejoice and to thank Hashem for all of these nisim that he did. So you should celebrate. And you should feel, you should rejoice, feel simcha. Well, how do I feel simcha? Do I feel simcha by dancing? Certainly. Do I feel simcha by shaving? Maybe, kind of. But that's already more of a judgment call. Right? I think if someone would say that getting a haircut and shaving certainly enhances the smicha, certainly it's mutter. Enhances the simcha yom ha'atzmaut, certainly it's mutter. But if it's not really enhancing your simcha yom ha'atzmaut, so maybe that's why the people don't do it. That's probably the explanation for this common practice that goes around. Any questions? Yeah.
So what about music that you listen to in terms of concentration? And it's not classical music. Like you need to listen to the radio when you're doing
homework,
schoolwork, yeah, or working out at the gym. You need to have some.
So I think that's all fine. Again, considering the fact that there might not be an Isser of music at all during Sfira, and considering the fact that if there is an Isser of music, it's probably something along the lines of dancing, which is marbe in your simcha, that music is to help you concentrate. That music is to help you focus or not to feel the pain of the workout. So that's fine. Yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, I listen to music during Sfira when I drive. It would probably be pekuach nefesh for me to drive. Without music, because I tend to get very tired at night. But, yeah, I think that's fine. Okay. So I thank all of you for coming. Yashikoach.